how we define here which kind of product we should go to the palatability trial is based on the concentration of volatile compounds comparing to this nucleotide profile, or even not just nucleotide profile, but we also consider some amino acids profile and also the concentration of glutamic acid.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Blending passion for customer success with love for pet nutrition, Trow Nutrition. Kemen Pet Food and Rendering is dedicated to supporting longer, fuller pet lives. Biorigin, your partner in yeast ingredients for palatability, immunity, and nutrition. Trusted ingredients, proven performance. Rengen Pet Nutrition, we partner with a purpose.
Well, welcome to the Pet Food Science Podcast. I am here with Dr. Tyler Pifarella, and she's an expert on yeast and how we might use yeast in pet food manufacturing and foods, what they can bring to a formulation. And so I'm very interested in having this talk today. I've put a lot of yeast in pet food. I was speaking of that before, so it'll be fun to dive deeply into that. Dr. Puteroff, would you tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to the position you're in? And this is sponsored by BioOrigin, so how that has worked in your career, I'd be very interested in.
I'm Tyler Puteroff, so I'm an animal scientist, and I did my master and PhD in pet nutrition, and both academic courses. I study yeast, selenium yeast, actually, for dogs. And in 2020, I started a position in BioOrigin as a global technical manager for pet food. And 3 years ago, I became the global business manager of BioOrigin. And BioOrigin is a company that produces yeast, primary yeast, and derivatives for animal nutrition. We have several products made from yeast, like purified beta-glucan, mononucleosaccharides, and yeast extract that we apply for several formulas in pet food.
For more than 20 years, BioOrigin manufactures high-quality yeast-based ingredients through a sustainable biotechnological process, guaranteeing full traceability from the crop to the bowl. Through specialization in the fermentation process, BioOrigin brings the right solution for specific nutritional, palatability, and health appeals, such as gut health, immune system, skin health, weight control, and more. BioOrigin's products are natural origin, non-GMO, and certified sustainable by Bonsucro. BioOrigin is your partner for high-quality, yeast-based ingredients to add value to pet foods worldwide. Learn more at BioOrigin.net.
Well, that's interesting. You know, you can use yeast for a lot of different things. They produce beta-glucans, which we've used as your... Do you want to maybe just give us a little overview? So I know you've done a lot of research and published some of it in this area. What might one include yeast in a pet food formula to do? What would be the reason for that?
Okay, so I think the first and one of the most common use for yeasts in pet food and the most tradition is to improve palatability, mailing through a brewer's yeast or the whole yeast. However, there are a lot of other benefits to when you include yeast. For sure, one of them is palatability. That increases a lot. We have a line of products that increase the palatability of the pet food, mainly because it is yeast extract that's going to bring the benefits of nucleotides and glutamic acid to increase this palatability and to enhance actually the natural flavor of the the food. But also there are other molecules when we start purifying this yeast or separate the yeast cell wall from the yeast, extract the internal content that we can use as a source of mononucleosaccharides or purified beta-glucans. And the mononucleosaccharides will have benefits in the gut health and the beta-glucans on the immune system, and also can support some weight management for some animals.
The listener might not know about beta-glucans. These are a fiber that are not digested in the small intestine, but are then available for fermentation in the lower gut. And then this is maybe a little different than something like fructooligosaccharides or something. Can you talk a little bit about that? Why that product from, because yeast is a specific source of this beta-glucan. Why is that better than maybe a fructooligosaccharide? Maybe it's not better, but it's different, right?
Yeah, and I think that one of the benefits when you have a purified beta-glucan, it is not because it's going to be fermented by the microorganisms in the gut, but it's going to be to activate the immune cells of the gut, right, on the gut wall. Because when you offer a kind of prebiotic that's not just based on purified beta-glucan, the microorganisms are going to use this mononucleosaccharides or fructooligosaccharides for fermentation, and you're going to have a lot of benefits for that. But when you provide to the animal purified beta-glucan, the animal can use directly this beta-glucan, because it's going to be, it's non-digestible by the animal. And when it reaches the gut, this molecule will connect to the cells on the Peyer plaque that's going to activate and start the whole response, immunological response, not by fermentation, but directly into the animal cells.
I understand.
And it's going to have a higher and intense response comparing to prebiotics and fermentation and the whole cascade for immune system.
So one could imagine really a benefit from both, right? Because you do want those like short chain fatty acids that are going to come through from that saccharolytic versus proteolytic microbial action. But this that you're describing is really an independent. It's really a specific response to that immune, gut immune response. And the gut's really good at immune response, right? It does this for a living. We need that to work, and support of that is a really good thing. So I can see that value. Well, you know, all the times I think, not all the times, I've put yeast for beta-glucan, and that's actually worthy of a deeper dive maybe we'll have time for. But I think, like you said, most people use yeast as a palatability enhancer, right? The pets choose it. Can you tell us a little bit about maybe how you'd measure that palatability and why that yeast is maybe a little different than other palatability enhancers? Because, you know, like so many things, I really like chocolate. I don't think I'm using it for nutrition, but that has a different cue than some of the other things that, you know, make food palatable. So let's just talk about that area a little bit, if you would.
As I mentioned, yeasts are best known because of its palatable effects. And the reason for that is because the higher content of glutamic acid brings the flavor, brings the taste of umami. And this is something that dogs and cats, they are really attracted by, this kind of taste, mainly cats. And once yeast has higher levels of these molecules, these components, so it's going to increase the palatability. And when you have like yeast extract, you can concentrate this these compounds and has a higher performance for palatability because you are increasing the yeast and also due to the process that you can do on yeasts, considering Maillard reactions or if you work on the process when you are nurturing the yeast during its fermentation, during its development, actually, you are going to you can modify the profile of the palatability of these palatable compounds through this process, the fermentation process, and you can drive different tastes. For example, you can have a beef taste for yeast extract, you can have a chicken taste, and just because you are working on how to grow this yeast, right? You're not adding an additive to the yeast, but you are just promoting fermentation and promoting actually this Maillard reaction that can drive different tastes. I don't say that it is something that is better or worse, because when you are in the palatability area. So there is not best or worst, because it's going to depend on your formulation, right? It's not just the yeast that's going to bring the taste for the whole formula. It is the composition of the formula. You have to have the ingredient, the matrix ingredient will have an impact too. And the yeast can help or enhance boosting this flavor, this palatability, or even masking some flavors. When you add more nucleotides, you can mask some undesirable tastes. For example, for vegetable formulas, or formulas that, okay, not vegetarian, but if you need to use more vegetables as a protein sources, then animal protein sources. You can increase the palatability using yeast. You can promote more palatability because of this nucleotide.
And so the nucleotides matter. I'm very interested in the palatability. And you know, I have to sort of lean in and smile. I'm probably one of those few people in the world that have eaten a number of palatability enhancers for pet foods. And I always kind of like the yeast, right? It's kind of got a good flavor. A lot of the more... oh, I'll say synthetic, maybe the right term, like sodium acid pyrophosphate, which is a very well-known palatability enhancer for pets, has a pretty good taste, but then it has the human tastes a natural bitterness in it that's sort of a secondary effect. But I didn't find that with yeast, but in some ways it doesn't matter because it's what the cat or dog wants. Can you tell us how maybe you go about measuring what they want, how you know what really tastes good to them?
How we define here which kind of product we should go to the palatability trial is based on the concentration of volatile compounds comparing to this nucleotide profile, or even not just nucleotide profile, but we also consider some amino acids profile, and also the concentration of glutamic acid. So by this way, we can define some options to go to an in vivo trial, palatability trial. We compare to diets, and we know that the umami taste, it is something very, it is intrinsic to the yeast. And when you have the yeast extract, you concentrate, because when you have the whole yeast, the palatability is lower than if you have the yeast extract, because the yeast cell wall is not so palatable as the yeast extract. But through this evaluation of the compounds, of the amino acids, the free amino acids profile, we can have some directions. For sure, we need to add this to evaluate this in vivo. However, it is possible to starting screening some products and having some idea how we can develop the palatability of a pet food formula.
Well, that kind of sounds like it makes it different than maybe the normal pet food pal enhancer one might use, in that ability to really focus the particular taste that the pet experiences to the matrix, the formula that it's being applied in. Is that, did I understand that correctly?
For sure. We have to do the in vivo trial. However, we can take some directions just evaluating the profile of the product.
You know, the pet food, independent of what the pet likes, the person buying that food often has some, I might say, even concerns about palatability enhancers that maybe they're not really right for their pet, maybe not even good for their pet. Because, like I say, I like chocolate. I don't think that's necessarily really good for me. But how does this ingredient, the yeast that you're talking about, how is that set in that field? Is it kind of different than other palate enhancers, or is it like them, or how's it the same? How's it different?
Yeast, it is a natural product, right? Or it's a natural ingredient, because yeasts are in our lives, even in the human lives. If you have bread, you are going to eat yeast somehow, right? Because you need that for the fermentation of the bread. And if you drink wine, it's going to be the same. So we use yeast in our daily life. Even yeast extract is something that is very common in human food industry. If you like snacks or you are going to find yeast everywhere, yeast extract everywhere. So I think people can understand better the benefits of the yeast extract because they can see this kind of product in the label of the food for humans. It is not difficult. If you go to the supermarket, you are going to see these ingredients. There are some people that sometimes make some confusion for yeast comparing to like something bad, pathogenic microorganism. But I think most of the people understand that there are different types of yeast, some that's for food industry and some that's it is in the nature. But usually, since it is a natural microorganism, a natural ingredient, since people can see this ingredient on the labels of the food industry, it is easier to use yeasts than a synthetic enhancer. And mainly because one of the trends nowadays is exactly this, right? Moving away from this kind of synthetic boosters or any other kind of synthetic molecules. And when you have yeast, you have the possibility to bring this natural claim for the pet food. Because, for example, when you talk about yeasts, we can using selenium in the fermentation of the yeast, and you can have a natural source of selenium based on yeast. You can do this for chondroitin also. You can do this for vitamin D. So nowadays, the fermentation and this kind of solutions based on fermentation, it is something that is gaining more and more developments, right? We can use fermentation to produce new molecules, synthetic molecules, and all of them are going to be more natural than these kind of synthetics products.
I understand. Well, if you know, we often talk in this podcast, maybe because it interests me, about teams working together and the value that, you know, having experts of different spaces in the same team, what that brings to a, but how would you look at collaborating in your space with maybe marketing, and maybe the formulators, the research people that say, oh, we want this in the formula. How does that collaboration work for you?
We totally depend on others, right? It's impossible to work by ourselves. Even for formulations or for new ingredients, we need to find new ingredients that the market can apply to their pet formulas or any other kind of products. So we really need to understand the needs of the customers, right? The market, yes, the formulator, the nutritionist, and trying to find a solution considering not only marketing, but we need to find solutions considering the regulatory issues, right? Legislations and everything that emerges by that time. Then we need also to think about prices, because we cannot just develop a wonderful product with high prices and nobody will buy, even if it's the best product in life. So, and we need to make sure that the message to the market, it is clear when we develop a product, and that the solution will bring the real benefits, because sometimes it is easy to marketing something, but it's not easy to prove something. So we believe that in our company, we really work before launching any product. We really work together, understand the market needs, understand if we are going to produce this innovation can fit the price, the desirable price. If the market is going to pay all the efforts that when we develop a product, there it's not just developing and put to the market. There are a lot of research that we have to conduct, and we have a huge structure to support all of this research. And this price must support all of this structure. So we have to work in a very collaborative way. Actually, it is the job of all areas, and even with our customers. Sometimes we develop some specific products for the customers, like a tailor-made products, and we need to figure out what is better to fit the needs of this customer too. So it's not a job considering just one area, but we have to work together to have a successful history to the market.
Well, what do you look at if you see, and I know lots of times they're hiring, you know, this effort, this they want this product, so you don't choose. But what do you look at in your collaborators that you would like to see that would make for success in that collaborative effort you're talking about?
What I look for this kind of collaborator, I think that the relationship must be always a win-win relationship, right? It is not just our side or not just their side, but to develop a very good product, and the product's going to be functional, we really need to work to have a win-win relationship. So we need to think that what is reasonable for the market, what is reasonable for the operations, actually, what is reasonable to the resources that we have, and everybody must think in a win-win relationship, or it is impossible. It is easy to launch the product into the market, but it's not easy to keep the product into the market, right?
Especially at the same price and quality, right? Those get pressed.
Yeah. For example, the purified beta-glucan, for example, is a molecule that we understand. There are a lot of resources, and we need to invest more, because even there are a lot of research on this kind of product, of molecule, we need to invest more. We need to understand more, because we are going deep now in pet nutrition or pet research. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, we do not have the same structure or resource that we have today, available resources. And we need to understand better this. So we need to update these resources. And for yeast, for example, one thing that's very, very important, it is the process that this yeast goes through. Because the temperature, the enzymes, and the time that the enzymes is going to work on the molecule, for example, this has a huge impact on the performance of the product. This changes the performance of the product. And we need all the time investing on researches to keep the value of this kind of product and to understand better how to use, how to apply, how to take more advantages on this kind of products.
It's time for our famous three.
Yeah, that sounds, I mean, it does sound so collaborative, and, you know, you have shared goals, you have desire for this, you know, really premium product that's out there. I wonder if we dive a little deeper into that, you know, from the yeast side, that you've talked about innovation in really formulation and then in subsequent, you know, sort of interaction with that whole yeast to get the most palatable part out. If you wanted to work together with this ideal partner we're trying to describe, you know, what would you do? What would you look for as that forward process to increase, you know, the competitive? They want to sell their product. They want to be able to talk to people about the great value of that, you know, maybe premium product. How would you work together with them to try and make that work?
The option is to have an in-depth trial, you know, because when you have the response into the animal, the performance that people can see, that the nutritionist can see, it's better, right? Because it's easy if I just show a lot of slides, or if I just show a lot of technical material based on literature, it's easy. But when you have a real trials with the molecule or the product that you were claiming, it's much better. And if you can, for example, share some evaluation, some in vivo evaluation, or the costs of these investments, I think it's a good way to work with this partner, because you are showing that your product works, because you believe in your product, and they are going to see that your product works. So it's a win-win relationship. You have to prove,
yes.
They have to believe, and it is important that they can see these, the benefits, not read, because it's easy to read. Nowadays, with the artificial intelligence, it's much easier to have information like, okay, what a beta-glucan, what is the benefits of a beta-glucan? If you ask this to the artificial intelligence, it's going to appear a lot of good information. But when you have an in vivo trial, when the people can see the results, can see the graphs, can see the tables, can see the response, the immune response, for example, for a beta, purified beta glucan, postprandial curve, or even interleukins, that's going to have interaction with the immune system. Okay, it's the reality. It's real.
Quite different, really, than... Well, you know, we're all sort of kicking at artificial intelligence. It has its space, and it can be woefully bad in other space. I have examples. Maybe it'll get better with time. All of that is different than saying, here is your ingredient, this yeast product, in the actual product that the consumer is having. That's by far the strongest claim, of course. But also, as you said, not easy and not cheap. So there's some balance there.
Life is a balance.
We've sort of used our time. I wonder if you might give a little bit of look back, if anybody's listening to this and thinking, you know, I'm interested. I'm a graduate student or just a student and maybe interested in that career. What could you tell them? Is it one that you think there's plenty of opportunity in? Is it one you'd recommend someone follow? What would be your advice to that student if they're interested?
Since I started the university, So I always wanted to work for with pet nutrition. If I look behind, I was not expecting to be where I am right now. A person, the global business manager, a person that can have the analytic view of the business, not only sales or not only technical or not only research, but everything that I conquer was based in my studies. So I did my master's. I worked hard in my master's. I would work hard in my R&D, my PhD. Then I did a postdoctoral. Then I studied a lot again. And this is something that bring us good benefits. You know, we need to make our efforts. Even sometimes doesn't look that it's coming, but it will come. And somehow it will come.
Okay, well, that seems like
it is important. And be very ethical, right, with everything. This, I think it is something that we need to pay attention, because you have to keep your consistency. You have to keep what you believe, and trying to be the most transparent as you can.
Thank you for your time. I think it's really been fun to dive a little deeper into yeast and understanding its sort of efficacy and value in pet food formulation. I appreciate it today. So,
thank you very much.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with Elite Remote Talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.